Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to come forward, to open our hearts and minds so that we are receptive unto the revelation of this your word, Heavenly Father, that will give us knowledge and wisdom. The knowledge of your word, your commandments, and your statutes, and the wisdom to be able to walk in it and also to use it. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be dealing here in chapter 11. Brother Kenny finished up with 10 this morning. So we're going to be picking up here with 11 with this first verse. It says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now He's going to be preaching in the cities where His disciples came from and lived. But here in verse 2, we're going to find that John the Baptist is asking a question. And he's asking this question while he is here in prison. And you know, he also had some followers and workers of his too, of his own. And here in verse 2 he says, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Now his disciples in three and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now we know that probably several reasons John was really wanting the answer to this. He was wanting to make sure that Jesus was who he was hearing him to be. And then imagine, too, because of his office with the Lord God, he's wondering why Jesus is leaving him in prison. We also know that John was killed while in prison. The king had his head cut off to satisfy a young girl. Now, he's asked that, and Jesus answered that he's given to these two to take back to John. Here in 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, you know, here in verse 6, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. But we know that the works of Christ were his miracles and things, besides his teaching and preaching, was coming, and things they should know to do in order to make heaven their home. And when John asked if he was the one that should come, naturally, he was referring to whether he was the Messiah or not that had been predicted in the Old Testament prophecy. You see, and we find in the Old Testament prophecy in several places that his coming was foretold and talked about. The blind receive their sight is actually an allusion to Isaiah 35, chapter 35, verse 5, and chapter 61, and verse 1. You know, where it is stated that his will be one of the works performed by the Messiah. That's something that was prophesied that he would do, would be that the blind would receive their sight. And that's just one. But anyway, and he also has told them that the poor have the gospel preached to them. That actually goes back again to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. Verse 1. Now, Jesus here, in telling them this, to take back to John, he was clearly vindicating his messiahship to John, who, as I said earlier, could have been questioning why Jesus had left him in prison. But we also know that it was time that John was going to go to heaven. Now, we know that he was there even before the Lord Jesus Christ, just as he was the forerunner to Jesus here. Now, in helping to prepare the way for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. John was strictly a man of God, and he fulfilled all of the work that God sent him to do. We know that John was just a few months older than Jesus. When Mary became pregnant with Jesus, John's mother was 6 months pregnant with John. That's how much difference there is in the two of them. Now, here in 7, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment clothing are in kings' houses." He let them know. Now, you see, Jesus is always talking straight when asked a question. He's going to give you a straight answer and one that will help you to understand. You see, they didn't go out to see something that was soft and like others. Here in that, he says, "But what went ye out for to see? A prophet." "Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet." He's considering John to be more than a prophet. And we all know, really, that he was. "For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee." He's letting them know that has been written by the prophets, all about John even. You know, the weakest believer who had the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the risen Christ is therefore in a more privileged position than the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Think about that. Them that are born of women, he's talking about mortal men. And the idea being that the greatest of all in this life cannot be compared with the glory of the life to come. We can have all kinds of glory. And we can do all kinds of works through the Lord and by the Spirit. But, you see, it will not compare to that life of eternity that we step out into when we make heaven our home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing that can be given us here on this earth will compare with that. Now, we had read there where there in 10, actually, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. 11. Verily, oh, there's that word that means pay attention. I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Think about that. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You see, no one here on this earth has measured up to him. But when we step out of this life and into the next, and that we are that child of God, and we have made heaven our home, he's letting us know then that we are greater than he even. You see, John the Baptist is the forerunner of Jesus. He was also of those that were here on earth before Jesus, serving under the law. But you and I are not. We and our lives, when we make Jesus our Savior and Messiah, we have just come under grace, the grace of Almighty God. And we are to work and walk by that and not by the law. But we are to live by every word of Almighty God. That's why we stay in the Bible. Studying, making ourselves a workman worthy of, and the only way we can do that is by the forgiveness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and by the study of God's Word to the point that we become filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Then we have been reborn. We are no longer the same person. Everything in our life changes. These are things we need to be thinking about, because when these changes are not made and take place, we have not become that born-again child of God. God's word tells us very plainly, very straight, and very strongly what being born of God has done for us. We've read it before, so I'm not going there. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You know the meaning of that saying and the connection of verses 12 through 14 with preceding and following context. They indicate that John opened the kingdom of heaven to sinners and thus became the point of Old Testament witness. In Jesus' statement that this is Elijah indicates the ministry predicted by Malachi. You see, in studying the scripture, it gives us these things when we really stop and see. We read there in 12, where it said, "The violent take it by force." And 13 and 14 follow up with, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come." For to come. In 15, "He that has an ear to hear, let him hear." In other words, stop, meditate, study on it until you receive the right truth of these verses. And he's made it very plain. But take it into your heart and your mind. And don't forget these things. Because we are told in 11, very starting of 11, by the very first word, that it is important. Now, 16. "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows." You know, he's talking about the generation that refused to exercise its capacity to hear and made excuses for rejecting actually both John and Jesus. And today, they are also rejecting the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and all of us that are the children of Almighty God. They want nothing to do with you. 17. And saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. You know, because they chose to reject both John and Jesus, and it didn't matter what either had said to them or was telling them. They were still not hearing and rejecting. Now, here in 18, Jesus is telling us here, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. Now, 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibbler, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. The gluttonous and a wine bibbler is what they have called it. Because he did eat and he would drink a little wine. Most of the children of God knows that it is okay for them to take a little wine. There are only a few that's not supposed to take any wine. Because a little wine is good for the stomach. It's good for your digestion system. But you're not to drink a lot of it, no. And you're not to get drunk on it. This is a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Now, 20. Then began he to upbraid the city wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. And if our land don't repent of the evil that our evil ones in our government has brought upon the people, we will lose our land. Now, and that's God's word. Just like he's telling these cities here. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And that's Jesus speaking. And he is letting Chorazin and Bethsaida know how they are standing and how are we standing today as individuals? Are we standing any different than any better? Better be. Think about that. Now, 22. And I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Now, 23. We know that this judgment that we're talking about here, this great judgment, it will be at the end of Jesus' 1,000-year millennial reign, will be the last judgment of any. And we know how terrible that day can be. Now, 23. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Now think about that. This statement shall be brought down to hell. That statement here is an allusion to Isaiah 14:13, where it is spoken of the king of Babylon and refers to Satan himself. Now, 24. Jesus says, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. He's not pulling any punches, is he? No, he's not. He's not pulling any punches at all. 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them to babes. That means you and I, that they are being revealed to. And they're there for us to learn so that we don't fall as they did. 26. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man know the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal. The only way you and I can know the Father and go to him and all in prayer and everything is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way for mankind to reach the Heavenly Father. We must go through him. Now 28. In the Bible they call this the Great Invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take of my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And the last verse, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, because he is there with us. It doesn't mean we'll not have troubles, trials, and tribulations, because we will. Satan is going to see things are brought against us. But we have the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God living in us. He gives us the strength and the courage and the knowledge and the wisdom to stand against all of the evil things that Satan tries to bring unto you and I. There's times we'll have to go to the Word in order to have the power and all we need. But the answers are there. And may the Lord be with each one that is within the sound of my voice through the media, the internet, and all. Now pray that he will touch your hearts and make you that born again child of his. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again we close your word now, Father. And Father, we're thanking you for the word. We're thanking you for Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. We pray for Israel and Jerusalem. Father, we pray for them for peace. But more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, may the Holy Spirit keep them in health, keep them safe, and see to their needs. This land of ours, Father, is in need, great need. And Father, I'm praying that all of the children of yours in this land will come together in prayer, praying for the evil to be removed from our government and from our churches and replace those, Father, that are walking in righteousness, that are filled with your Spirit, that will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, once again, I lift up Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, James Taylor, Bobby and Millie Johnson, myself, and all of our families. Because, Father, we all have family members that are walking in darkness. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will work with them and work with us to lead them out of darkness and unto a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. so that they'll not be lost in all to make heaven their home. Those, Father, that are walking in sickness, I'm praying that they will accept your promise and your word, lay claim to it, that they are healed by the stripes that the Lord Jesus Christ bore. Stand on it and watch it all come about. Standing in faith, we'll see great things done. Father, be with us now as we come to a close, and as each one of us are in a separate place for this night, give us rest, Father, and keep us in health and, Father, let us raise in the morning refreshed. Come together again at 10 a.m. and back into your word. This, Father, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone. Walk with God, and he'll walk with you. Have a great evening.